Thank you for standing. That shows respect for God's word that I'll be presenting to you. I think it's a wonderful thing in our culture that we do certain things to show respect for the magnificent word of God. This morning, we're going to look at a section of God's word that I believe will be very beneficial and profitable to you in your growth and stand on God's word. And the section we're going to go to is in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. But before we go there, slow down. Before we go there, let's take a look at 2 Timothy 3:16. We never want to forget the foundation of working God's word and understanding why we do what we do. And the foundation of working God's word is to realize in 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16, is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed in the Greek. That's what it translates into. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness is simply right living. What is the right way to live in God's view? Man has their view of what right living is, but what is God's view in right living? And His scripture is God-breathed. This is the God-breathed word. This is His word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, it says. So this is God's word, and it has profit. And God's word is written so that it teaches us right believing. It also has sections in here where it will reprove us when we're not believing correctly, and then it will correct us to get back to right believing. And really, all of this is instruction in right living, in righteousness before God, that the man of God, verse 17, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants us to do good works, but do it in light of what the Word says, the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. So I believe you're here to learn more about living rightly, so that you can be blessed in your individual life, that you can bless others that you live with and fellowship with. I hope that's the reason why you're here. I know the refreshments are great. And the fellowship is sweet, and that's part of living the Word. But, you know, your heart should be, and my heart should be, wherever we go to hear God's Word taught, is what can we learn? What can we learn to help us so that we're blessed, we can bless others? And really, there's another point I think that's even more important, that we bless our Heavenly Father, that we do what is right before Him. He's our Heavenly Father. Without Him, we have no life. He started it all. So, boy, to be able to do these things so that we can be a blessing before our Heavenly Father, that should be number one. Well, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at this section of God's Word here. In working this Word, this section of God's Word, we know that it's a reproof book. The Corinthians got off the ball to what was taught in a practical sense in the book of Romans. And here we see a reproof where they've been missing it and then getting back, correcting them to get back to right living. Okay? So in light of that, let's read this wonderful chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, which in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of some comfort. All comfort. He's the God of all comfort. God is a God of comfort. Do you need comfort in your life? Where do you want to go, God? All comfort. Who comforteth us in some of our tribulation. We got to take care of ourselves. We can't go to God on everything. No, that's not what the word says. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What seems to be the theme in that verse? Comfort. Wow. Isn't that neat? In all our tribulation, God is a God of all comfort. He's very encouraging. You know, we can go to Him in all and every situation. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, and that word is really a same word, foundational word, from the same word family as comfort in verse 3. Also aboundeth by Christ. So our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation or comforting and salvation. You know, life is not easy. Problems arise, situations come before us, and we have to deal with them. But who do we have to comfort us, to help us, encourage us? Our Heavenly Father. He's the God of all comfort. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation, or the encouragement, or the comforting. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Boy, they were in such a great fix that they thought they were going to lose their life. It was that close. Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. You know, they got to the point, hey, you know, we're pretty smart here. We know some things, but really, what can God do for us? How can God bail us out? How can He rescue us and take care of us? Even to the extent, if we die, He'll raise us from the dead. So that's pretty neat. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust or hope that He will yet deliver us. You know, what a great expectations they had here. Evidently, Paul and those traveling with them, they had quite a challenge in dealing with situations, moving the word with believers in different areas. And boy, he starts out this wonderful reproof epistle that God's a God of comfort here. You know, let's don't get off the ball here. Let's stay put with the God of comfort here. And you know, as we deal with situations, God can deliver us, even to the extent that if we need to be raised from the dead. Hey, was Paul raised from the dead in one situation? He was. He was stoned one time. And that wasn't with drugs. That was with rocks. And God raised him from the dead, it says in Acts. Now, this verse 11 is really neat. Because I think sometimes there's an aspect of the ministry that people just kind of slough off with and don't realize how important it is. Verse 11 says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. What he's saying here, that they knew about their situation and they would pray for them. Helping together by prayer. Their prayer made a difference in helping them. You know, we say so many times, you know, oh, I'll pray for you. You know, you got a situation, you got a problem. You know, somebody called. In fact, I got a call this morning of a situation, a believer, you know, couldn't be here today. And so I said I'd pray for them. Now, it's easy to say that, and yet it's not just words. When I pray for them, it means something. When you pray for people, it means something. Okay? We can pray perfectly when we speak in tongues, can't we? It says when you speak in tongues, you can give intercession to the saints. So praying for people is a big deal. And when you say, hey, I'll pray for you, do it. Just don't say it. Do it. And believe that your prayer makes a difference. Makes a difference. There's so many instances where people have requested prayer and people have gotten together and prayed for that situation. You'll hear back a few days later that at a certain time, you know, the situation was resolved or, you know, the light came to being there and they knew what to do. And it would be at the same time that people were praying. So prayer is a big deal. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. That verse 12, I don't know about you, but it's not very clear. There's a lot in there. And, I had to read through that a few times and work it. And the King James translation isn't very clear. Let me give you what I believe to be a more accurate translation of this section here in verse 12. And perhaps it'll help your understanding here. Because it's talking about our rejoicing in the testimony of our conscience. That's where we have our habit patterns, you know, the inner mind there. So here it is. For our glorying is this, the testimony of our conscience that in holiness and sincerity of God, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we behaved ourselves in the world, and more abundantly to you word. So, you know, this was what they were communicating. It wasn't by fleshly wisdom, their rejoicing, and what they understood in the depth of their minds, but it was by the grace of God. By grace are you saved, right? Not by works. The grace of God is much bigger, much better. That's what we can, you know, the bank of God, it's called grace. And we can walk into that bank of grace. Undeserved favor. God wants us to use that resource. You know, we have our own resources. We think we're so smart. We're so intelligent. But God's grace is so big and wonderful. And that's how God wants us to perceive Him. That we don't have to earn our way in His presence. It's by grace we're saved. You couldn't earn your salvation. Be strong in the grace, it says in Timothy. That is in Christ Jesus. This is to the leadership. The leadership need to be strong in the grace, not in their own abilities, but in the wonderful grace of God. And that's where we had our lifestyle. You know, behaved ourselves in the word. This is the word conversation, our lifestyle, how we behaved in the world. We behaved in the world. Our lifestyle is one of grace. The grace of God. Verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. You know what they're saying here is that they're rejoicing. They rejoice in each other. You are our rejoicing. Paul and the leaders there were saying, you are our rejoicing. Boy, when we think of how great life is and how great God is and what we've done, our ministry, we rejoice in you because you've believed God's word. And you rejoice in me. Why? Because Christ is coming back at any time. At any time in the day of the Lord Jesus. Boy, they had vision. They moved day by day knowing that Christ could come back at any time. And man, they rejoiced in each other knowing that we all had that to look forward to. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Okay, let's move on here. Verse 15, and in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit and to pass by you into Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? And what, you know, the word lightness means, was I fickleness? You know, was I not really serious? Was I just saying one thing and I really didn't mean it? Hey, I'll come see you sometime today. You know, people say that, right? Hey, I'll come over and see you later today. Most of the time they don't come, right? Because people just don't mean what they say and say what they mean. And this is what he's saying. Hey, I was not fickle. I was not like that. Did I use this type of attitude or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? Was it just a flesh trip? That with me there should be yay, yay, and nay, nay? Okay, yay, yay, and nay, nay. Yes, yes, and no, no. It's like yes and no, maybe so. You know, that's how we say. Yeah, no, maybe so. That's what he's communicating here. You know, do I purpose according to the flesh that with me there should be? Yes and no, maybe so. You know, is this the lifestyle? You know, I'll say one thing and really don't mean it and I'll do something else. It's really talking about integrity. Did he have integrity? Say what you mean what you say. And that's what this expression is talking about here. And this is what I want to, because what this section in Corinthians leads to is a great point here. And this is where I want to get you to and what I really want to set in your minds here today, that you are not just a yay, yay, and a nay, nay person. Yes, I'll go to fellowship. I can't go tonight. I just got, this TV program's too good. I can't miss it. Yeah, no, maybe so. Let's go on here. But as God is true, and the word true there is really the Greek word faithful. Pistos, faithful. But as God is faithful, our word toward you was not yea and nay. It wasn't yes and no. Hey, when we said we're going to come, we're coming. We were not fickle. God is faithful. We want to be that way too. If God says yes, I want to say yes. If God says no, no will be the answer. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Boy, we sure got a lot of yea, yeas, and nay, nays here, don't we? You know, this is an expression emphasizing integrity. To net it out. Having integrity. He's saying, in light of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us and by these other guys, it was not yes and no, but in him it was yes. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. That's it. You need to know that Jesus Christ is the answer. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. No other name under heaven by which you can be what? Saved. Jesus Christ, that's it. He is the one. He is all yes. And in him there's no. There's no no. Wow. Look at verse 20. For all the promises. Does it say some of the promises? says, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. That's such a fantastic verse. Wow. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. The word amen, I want to take a little few minutes, rather, to share with you about the word amen. In the Greek, the transliterate is amen. It's a what we have in the English is a transliteration of the Greek amen, amen. What that word means is, so be it, so it is. Now, when you pray, what do you say at the end? Why do you say that? Because your folks taught you that and this is what you learned? Why do you say amen? Do you know what it means? Well, it means so be it, so it is. So it is, so be it. In other words, you've made a prayer and then you say, this is it. I'm committed. I'm, what I say, I mean. I mean what I say, say what I mean. Amen. Okay, so it is, so be it. It's used 152 times in the New Testament. Many times, or not many, but a number of times, it's translated verily. You ever seen the scripture says, verily, verily, I say unto you? That's the same word as amen, amen, I say unto you. It's the same word. And it means, so be it, so it is. So when it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, why would he start with that? Usually you're supposed to end with amen. He's starting with that to say, hey, what I'm going to tell you here is a big deal. What I'm going to say, I mean. This is important. I'm going to have integrity with what I say here. Let me show you in John. We're going to come right back here. So look in the Gospel of John so you can see this. Gospel of John. Chapter 3. In the Gospel of John, by the way, it's interesting to note that there's a double combination of verily, verily. It's like, you know, verily I say unto you, and then there's this verily, verily I say unto you. It's used 25 times in John. John is a concentration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The other Gospels have emphasis that he's a man, that he's a servant, that he is a king or a prince, okay? The Gospel of John emphasizes that he is the Son of God. I mean, boy, how the word fits like this and the emphasis here. Amazing. Verily, verily. Well, here's an example in chapter 3. This is about Nicodemus. Remember the story? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered him and said unto him, verily, verily. You know, some people read this and they think, well, this is just old English talk, you know. They say verily, verily before they say stuff all the time. No, it's not just old English talk. There's significance in here. He's saying, hey, amen and amen. What I'm going to tell you here is a big deal. I've got integrity here. This is important. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, is that important? Woo! Very important. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, the natural birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So everything that God writes has purpose and meaning. And this is the great emphasis. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. And I trust with that understanding, you see the emphasis here in this wonderful section in Corinthians. Now, also in that verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. So be it, so it is. Unto the glory of God by us. God gets a kick out of seeing us believe his promises. It's a glory to him when you and I walk in the deliverance. When we get born again of God's Spirit, we're his son. He is just as proud as can be. It's a glory to him to see us walk in all the power, all the greatness of believing his word, believing the promises of God, walking that lifestyle of saying yea and amen. Look in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians 1. We're coming back. You know that. So don't lose your spot there. Ephesians chapter 1. This wonderful section in here. Verse 7. We'll start there. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. See, he wants us to be the praise. We are the praise of his glory. We have believed. We're born again of God's Spirit. We are to the praise of his glory. You know, the angels are flitting around. He says, hey, look at these guys down here in San Diego. They're the praise of my glory. They believe me. They're my sons. Christ, hey, you're going to go down and pick them up sometime soon. Christ is, well, he's on the right side, isn't he? I'm sorry, right side. You know, boy, we just need to see ourselves as God sees us. We are to his glory. And I know some people see that and then they look at their flesh life and say, no, not me. God does not look at your flesh life. We, you know, our flesh life, we hurt, we have pains, we mess up. But God doesn't get into that. We get into it, but he gets into Christ. He sees the Christ in us, and he's just as blessed as can be. Yes, does he want us to rise up bigger and better? He's a father. We're his kids. He wants us to, you know, to succeed as a believer. But even the worst kid in a family, a loving father, how does he still feel about that kid? Still loves him, in spite of how bad they may be. Still loves him. God is the greatest father in the whole world. He still loves us. We are to the praise of his glory. We see that in Ephesians. We see that back in 2 Corinthians, right? That's such a great section here. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, to the glory, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest, the pledge, the token of that Spirit in our hearts. That token, that pledge, that earnest is the Spirit of God we have. You're born again of, you got Christ in you, that Spirit in you, that's a token. That's just a little bit of the real thing that you're going to have when Christ comes back. But boy, is it something, because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we have been sealed because of that, or it's permanent. The new birth reality is permanent, sealed. And when God seals it, that's it. Now it says that in Ephesians. I should have had you put one of your fingers in Ephesians here. Because when you look at Ephesians chapter 1 again, where is that? Oh, verse 13. Verse 13. This is after that verse 12. That you that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Wow, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. There it is again. To the praise of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? Just so neat. So wonderful. You know, the born-again believer has a whole new lifestyle to live. And I like to call it the yay and amen lifestyle. That should be our lifestyle now. Now, I know some of you Italians' background, you know, you kind of think, well, I'm Italian, so I've got an Italian back, you know, lifestyle. You know, we all associate our lifestyles geographically many times, don't we? Hey, I'm from the South, and I stand up when they play Dixie. That's my lifestyle. You know, Texas, and other places. You know, we associate our lifestyle geographically. You know, sometimes we associate our lifestyle culturally, right? What our culture is. Maybe we're from Hawaii, and so, you know, our lifestyle is like that. We eat those kind of foods and things like that. And, you know, our culture, maybe we're part of the mafia family. So we, you know, our culture is along those kind of lines. Or maybe we associate our lifestyle to athletic teams. I'm a Raider Nation member. I'm a Charger. That's my lifestyle. I'm a Charger. Or maybe, you know, we watch a lot of TV, so we have that to associate a lifestyle to, huh? You know, I'm a Trekkie. Or whatever. Isn't it amazing what people associate their life to and mold their lifestyle around? Hey, you and I are born again of God's Spirit. We have the yay and amen lifestyle. All the promises of God are what? Yay and amen. Woo! I've got Christ in me. Yay and amen. That's it. So be it. Nothing else. It's Christ in me. So that's the lifestyle we can have. Sure, we can have these other things. We live in the flesh. But why not? Why not just tap in, get our minds thinking that, hey, that Christ in me is much bigger than all the flesh stuff going on. Why not live all the promises of God, yea and amen. Let's take a look, last verse here, last two verses, James. And you don't need to hold a finger in Corinthians because we're not coming back. Hebrew, James 5. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. I mean, think about Job and what he went through, my golly. And yet, at the end, he was very, very, very blessed. That the Lord is very pitiful. Now, the word pitiful in our English, you know, we have different meaning than what it really means here. What this very pitiful means is tender and compassionate. The Lord is just lovingly tender and compassionate, of tender mercies. You know, that's his heart, that's his attitude, that's his manner. He's tender, he's compassionate. He's of tender mercy. Verse 12, But above all these things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. In other words, you know, by the stars in heaven, I say this, I commit to that. You know, by the blood brother here of this Indian tribe, I swear I will stand with this tribe because we've shared a drop of blood. No, it's saying, above all these things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. And the word condemnation in the Greek is krisis. Krisis. What English word do we get from that? Crisis? It's spelled different in the Greek. But you fall into a crisis. Well, if you're saying yes to one thing and you don't mean, and it's really, you know, you don't really mean a yes, you mean a no, then you're going to have some crisis in your life. You're going to have some big time problems. The point here is, let your yea be yea. If you say yes, you're going to do something, then do it. If it's a no, then it's a no. You know, we need to say no to stuff, a lot of stuff in the world. Just say no and mean it. And then continue to say yes and amen to God's word. Have integrity in your life. We need integrity so bad. God's word has integrity. That's why our ministry is working the integrity of God's word. We need to have integrity in our life in light of who we are in Christ. And have a lifestyle of yea and amen. I want you to remember that this week, all right? Your lifestyle is a lifestyle of yea and amen. And as we grow in God's word, we develop that yea and amen lifestyle. We take God at His word. God's word is true. We renew our minds with God's word. We live God's word. We live the love of God in manifestation because all the promises of God are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. So let's live the yea and amen lifestyle until Christ comes back for us, okay? All right. God bless you.